you may take your seat. I don't know whether it's good or it's bad when you have to take your own medicine. I don't know how doctors feel when they have prescribed medicine for other people and they finally end up taking it themselves. I don't know. But I do know this, that when you are a person that's have strived all your life to be positive and upbeat, and when that time comes that you're not, you don't know what to do. And that's where I am. And since I try to be transparent with you, I won't try to hide that from you. And I'm down in the dumps today. And I do believe the way God works with me, if I would not tell you that, you would not know that. Because God have fixed me when I have been like that, like this before. I stood here and I preached, and I hope and I pray that you didn't know that I was down in the dumps. And let me try to tell you why I'm there. Nothing is wrong, but everything is wrong. Have you ever been there? That's where I am. I'm standing here and I'm in my seat here and I'm looking out and I don't like what I see. Because in my spirit I feel just like a failure. Because it's one thing when you shepherd people, not preach to them. When you shepherd people, you see them in the long run. And in the long run that I see for us with what's here, we're missing something. And I have to shoulder the responsibility for that because I've been here for the last 16 years and things seem to be getting better. But as I look and I think about the horizon, they don't seem to be getting any better. If anything, it seems to get worse. But I know this, that God will never fail. I know this, that God will get his word out with whomever is left after the dust settled. I know that if we use what we got, God will provide. Thank you, Holy Ghost. God will not be defeated. May go through dark times and may get depressed, but God's always on time. There's a song like that. He's an on-time God. He's never late. He's always on time. May seem as if things are going wrong. But there's a song, another one liner says, I will trust in the Lord and not in myself. For our subject today, how to encourage yourself in the Lord. How to encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't you just love times when you are really enjoying life? You're enjoying God's blessings and experiencing God's joy. Don't you just love it? Don't you just love it when you love the life that you're living? Then there are those times when life is challenging, when life is hard work, when you have to search for happiness, it's common, it's a commonly reported that depression in the United States affects between 16 and 18 million Americans every year. We're not talking about a rainy day blah like it was Friday. We're talking about a serious condition. And this condition ought to concern all of us, that so many people have a difficult time enjoying life. And we don't need to judge the depressed people. Any number of things can weigh a person down to a point where that they lose hope. And even those who aren't depressed, you have to admit that there are times when you are struggling with life and you don't know why. You don't seem to be able to maintain the happiness that you thought were yours. Then again, perhaps no one in the Bible is a greater example of this than King David, of being able to encourage himself, being able to look at himself and then go to God and talk to God. David's one of the great men of the Bible who came up from being a shepherd of sheep to being a shepherd of God's people. There's a whole lot of difference between being a shepherd. I'm talking about a real shepherd. I'm talking about taking ownership. I'm not talking about just preaching to you on Sunday and don't worry about you until next Sunday. I'm talking about, I look out here and I don't see too many people between the ages of 18 and 25. I have to look out there and not see them and know that they are coming. How do you know that, Baggett? Because I have to know and trust in God that God won't have a void in his church. I have to know that. Can't see it, but I know that in my spirit. They are here, but they just won't come in the door. We have to get after them, and we get after them because we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. You have to do that if you are going to get them here. Point number one, if I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord, I have to put worship before warfare. Before I go to war against the wiles of the devil, I need to have some time alone with God. I need to pick a time, several times and several places where I get alone with God. Nobody else might not be there, but I need to have a quiet time with God. David was well known as a mighty man of war. He did some great things in war. But brothers and sisters, I stop by to tell you the greatest place that he was a warrior was in worship. He worshiped this God that we serve. He was a great warrior. He took a jawbone of an ass and killed a whole lot of men. David took and got sheep away from a bear and a lion. The song was, as they came back into town, Saul killed his 1,000, but David killed his 10,000. So he was a great warrior. But brothers and sisters, I stop by to tell you the greatest war that he fought was in worship and in talking, keeping Satan away from him. Because David was a great man. You know, he took his sling with a sling and a rock and killed a giant. But he would not take what the world had to offer him. Brothers and sisters, we have to worship God before we get into our warfare. And I think sometime why we are losing people out of the church is that we are trying to go to war before we worship God. You got to worship God in spirit and in truth. You can't just worship him just before you get ready to go into war. When there's peace all over the world, you got to worship God. You have to stay in touch with him. Don't just call him when you get in a bind, when you get in between a rock and a hard place. While you are at a good place, you need to worship this God that we serve. Don't know why God gets us like he does, but stuff happened in our life. David, and this incident that happened, let me see if I can get you to the place where I am in this story. David had gotten angry and he had gone to the enemies of God and had sided with the Philistines and was going to help them war because Saul was after him trying to kill him. The Bible says that he was over there and he had raided and they had given him a city. The city was named Ziklag, and his wife and everybody's wives and their children were at that city, and they went to the major city of the Philistines. They were getting ready to go to war against the children of Israel about 50 miles away, and they went there to go to war against Israel. Ain't God good? Thank you, Holy Ghost. And David went there to go to war against his own people. But then the king went there and said, no, we're not going to let him go because he might get in the middle of the battle and turn against us. So they wouldn't let David go. But then him and his 600 men had to turn around and march back 50 miles to Ziklag. But when they got there, things didn't go well. They looked up and they saw that their families had all been taken and carried away. None of them had not been killed. David didn't just get angry when he saw this. He got angry, yes. But the Bible says somewhere, get angry and sin not. David got angry, but he didn't sin. He went to God. See, that's what you got to do. You got to worship him no matter what the situation is. Worship him before you go to war. Don't think about killing somebody before you worship God. If you think you gotta kill him, talk to God first. I know that's a great exaggeration, but the point I'm trying to get you to see, doesn't matter what the situation is, worship God before you do anything, especially if you think you may get upset. Talk to God. Put God before worship, before you do anything. Tell God what your situation is, and then God will provide just what you need. Don't try to get in front of God. See, the mistake that we make, we look at this gospel and this life as this is all it is. You need to look at it in the process of the whole pie. If you hand me a pie, don't expect to get any of it back, because I'm going to keep the whole thing. If I take a slice, that means that's all I want. I want my life right now. I told you this in the beginning. I was down in the dumps, but I'm not looking at my life right now. I'm looking at the whole process of time. It's just something that you got to go through. And if you will trust in the Lord, everything will be all right. Don't just serve God when things are going well. Just serve God all the time. If you put worship in front of worship, in front of warfare, you will have things in order. We want to go to war and then come back and thank God. No, worship him first and then go to war. Because if you worship him, he's going to tell you what to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the process. Thank you for the process of getting where you need me to be. Because if I would have had a choice, I was planning to preach on Philippians, but I couldn't leave this passage. So I now know why you got to go through. When you go through, he gets you at a place where you got to worship him, where when nobody else can help you, your wife can't help you, your associates can't help you, your deacons can't help you, can't nobody help you but God. And you got to worship him in spirit and in truth. When you trust in God, everything will be all right. You got to worship him, people, all the time. Not just when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. Enjoying life is not the center of a believer's life. Enjoying worship and God needs to be the center of your life. If you put God in the center, everything else will orbit around it. But if he's not in the center, everything will be off kilter. Off kilter. I'm going to mess with you now. I'm going to get in your teeth. I'm looking at a whole lot of you that need to come to Sunday school. Hello, lights, and I'm not just talking to the children. Grown folks need to come too, because you don't know everything. You need to come to Sunday school. You need to get involved so you can get involved and get involved and get involved and get involved and let God be first. Do you know worship service starts before you get here? How many of us that, I know all of you don't get up and go to work every morning, but when you did, you would not leave home at the time that you ought to be in at work. Yeah. I'm in it. Get here. If I don't tell you, it's my fault. But I'm going to tell you. Young and old. And because you've been doing it for 50 years, I don't give you an excuse to be late. Get here. And young people, if you don't have a ride, where's Brother Earl and Brother Malcolm? And Sister Trina, they'll pick you up. They'll pick up grown folks too. We need to increase our worship. And not just Sunday morning. You ought to be preparing now when you walk out that door for the next session that you're going to have. If you're senior women, it would be Tuesday. If you're a young person in choir rehearsal, you ought to be preparing for it tomorrow. Male chorus tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? We need to stay involved. You need to stay so involved that the devil couldn't get to you if he tried. Because you're surrounded with God-like stuff and God-like people. And you may find out you have some friends that you don't know that you have. And if you think, I'm talking to you as Donovan Singletary said, you chronologically inclined people. If you think these young eyes are not watching you, and don't know that you're not coming all the time, that you're trying to encourage them to come and you're not coming. You know what I think they're saying in their mind? Why you want me to go if you don't go? Yeah. And I know a lot of us are saying, I don't have any in my house, but you got some around you somewhere that know you. So you need to be encouraging them. And if you don't, if you encourage yourself in the Lord, you will keep encouraging them as well. Okay, I'm going to stop milling. Point number two. I can encourage myself in God by asking God for direction. Asking God for direction. Things get hard when you are trying to do them independently without leaning on and relying on God. When you try to do it yourself without including God, it gets rather difficult. We need God's grace in everything in this life. We need His grace. If everything in this life were easy, we would not need the power of the Holy Spirit. God could just take His Holy Spirit away from the earth because the earth would not need it. The Bible refers to Him, the Holy Spirit, as a helper. He's in us and He is with us at all times to help us in all things. He's there to enable us to do what we cannot do. And to do, we can do it with ease with Him, but without Him, it is an impossibility for you to do and do it the way God would have you to do it. The Holy Spirit is a helper. The Greek word is parakletos, which it means to come alongside and to help to perform what needs to be performed. He comes alongside us and enable us to do what we cannot do without Him. Even though God gives us the ability to do something, He come along beside you and help you to do it. This is what we need. This is what we cannot do without. We need the help and the aid of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will leave you, but I will leave you a comforter. The comforter is the Holy Spirit. I have a comforter beside my recliner. When it gets cold, I take and put it on me and I feel a whole lot better. It's no good to me laying over there beside the recliner. If I don't pick it up and put it on, it won't help me. That's what you have. But the Holy Spirit, you can't take Him off and put Him on. He stays within you at all times. So therefore, He's within you even when you don't want to allow Him to come and do what He needs to do. That's that still quiet voice that you hear when you think about doing something. And you ought not to do it. So you ought not to do that. Or you know how to get to where you're going, but you make a wrong turn and don't even know you've made a wrong turn. And you dodge a wreck. You don't know what you dodged. You don't know why you didn't turn where you were supposed to turn. Have you ever picked up the phone and called somebody and they said, I knew that was you. And the phone rings the same way all the time. They're not like some of us got these special rings for special people. It just ring a ring. And they knew it was you because you were on their mind. And they were thinking about you. God put stuff in us to allow us to do things for Him if we will allow Him to come into us and give us directions about what He needs for us to do. You don't know everything. You might know almost everything, but not everything. I don't care how smart you are, how many A's you made in school. You don't know. The Holy Spirit is there to guide you, to lead and direct you in the path that God would have you to go. David, in this passage, consulted with God, told the priest to bring me the ephod. put the ephod on, and the Bible doesn't tell us what he said to God, but he asked God a question. Should I pursue them? And God answered in the affirmative, yes. Pursue them and you shall recover all. Devil have taken nothing away from you that you won't recover all if you listen to the directions of the Holy Spirit. That wayward child that just won't seem to come home. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Lay them on the altar of God. And then when you lay them there, walk off and leave them there. And every time you think about going back to get them, say, God, you promised me that if I ask and believe and walk in your word, you would perform what you said you'd perform. That's my child, and I'm praying over them. I'm laying them on your altar, and I'm trusting you to bring them home. And listen to me. God does not have to perform what he's going to perform in your lifetime. But as long as God will do just what he said, we have to know that we 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 know that the Bible is true, and it's the only absolute truth that there is. It's in God's word. I told the men this morning in Sunday school, in the Bible, when it said that it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months on the earth, the Bible says it didn't say the area that they were living in. It said the earth, and the Bible is true. He said the whole earth, and it didn't rain on the earth for 42 months. I have to believe that. And if God said it in his word, I got just enough sense to believe in his word. He said if a child of his ask and believe and expect God to do it, ask and believe and knowing that God will do it, God will perform just what his word said. You have to know, you have to be listening to the direction that God gives you. He gives you direction about what you're supposed to do, and if you follow the directions of God, you might go wrong to man, but you won't go wrong to God. Trust in God and listen to his direction and follow his directions in order to follow the directions of God. Sometimes you have to struggle. It won't be easy. It'll be a hard road to hoe, but if you keep trusting in God, every time things get a little difficult, hum that one line, I will trust in the Lord. I'm believing in your God. I'm trusting in your God. You haven't failed me yet. You've been with me all this time. And you said you wouldn't bring me this far to leave me. I'm following your direction. I'm following the directions. We need to know what God wants us to do and not what I want to do. If I was doing what I wanted to do, I think it was Philippians that I would be preaching on today. But I'm not, because I'm living with God. I'm trying to get difficult. Didn't understand it until early yesterday morning. I got it then. I said, don't you worry. You just stand and you preach my word. Somebody in here today other than me need to encourage themselves in the Lord. You don't have to tell me, but God wouldn't send a message out unless somebody needed it other than me. I got it. I'm encouraged in the Lord because I'm following his directions and I'm listening to what he wants me to say. But you got to get there. Everybody might not like you. That's all right. He didn't say for them to like you anyway. He said, love ye one another. But if we do what God said, everything will be all right. Might not be easy going down, but the outcome is what you want to look at, not the income, the outcome. The outcome is that I will be a child of God and I will be obedient. I won't be misbehaving. I won't be a disobedient child. David, with those men, started on a journey to reclaim what was theirs, and they walk in the will of God. I can hear them now. they might not have been singing to this one. I just know one line of this one too. Said, order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me and guide me every way. See, when you're following God, you don't have to know where you're going. Just keep your eyes on the cross and follow the directions that you have been given. My last point before my conclusion, point number three, treat others fairly. Don't treat them bad. Treat them fair. David and his 600 men started out to capture what was theirs. But when they got down by the brook, I've forgotten the name of the brook. But when they got down by the name of the brook, a third of the men, 200 of them, was too tired to go on. And they wanted to stop and rest. And they couldn't afford to stop. So David left them by the brook watching the stuff. And they went on. And they captured what was theirs and brought it back. God gave them all of it back. But that's where the treating others fairly come in. See, some people don't want to do anything, but they do the very best that they can. They do all that is within their power. Those men couldn't go any farther, and they were honest with David. I can hear them in my mind saying, King David, I can't go any farther. My bones are weary. My muscles are tired. Can I stop and stay here? He said, I'll tell you what you do. Said, all of you just tired. Stay here. We're going to leave some of our stuff here. And you stay here and watch our stuff. And we will be back. So they went on and they captured them. And then on the way back, coming back with all the spoil that they had, they picked them up and went back to Ziklag. And when they got back to Ziklag, they decided to divide up the spoil. Well, you know how some of us are. If I'm in the battle and you're not in the battle, you don't get anything. That's not the way it is with God. God shares and shares alike. They didn't want to share with the 200 men that stopped by and rested by the brook while they went and fought the war. Let me stop right here and take a pause and give honor to all of our veterans that have gone off and fought wars, and the rest of us stayed home. They got our freedom. Are you going to give up your freedom because you didn't go to war? I think not. You're going to enjoy. So let them reap some of the spoil of all that we have to give them. Treat them with the respect and the admiration that they so rightly deserve. But those 400 didn't want to share with the 200. But when they got back, David said, we all will share in the spoil, and we'll share equally. That's the way God is. You remember in the Bible when the man that had the vineyard, he came in 1 hour and he got some and he carried them and put it to work. And he came back later and got some more. He carried them all and put them to work and told them he'll give them a day's pay. When it come payday, those that had been working all day didn't like the idea that those that had worked 1 hour got paid the same thing that they got paid. But God doesn't change. He had no respect to person. He's going treat all of us fairly. If you want to encourage yourself in the Lord, treat everybody fairly. Get the directions and trust in the Lord. God will provide just what you need. Lord, I don't know what you got next, but I'm trusting in you. I want you to order my steps in your word. I want you to lead me, guide me where you need me to go. I'm just like a blind man. I can't see any farther than where I am right now, but I know that you know what's in front of me, and I want to encourage myself in the Lord, because God got something for you. David had this principle that Jesus applied in this, in that New Testament. He gave them all the same thing. I stop by to tell you that if you serve this God, you're going to spend eternity in heaven right along with Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They ain't going to spend no more time with them than you will. And that's called eternity. I want to encourage myself in the Lord. Every now and then, you had to get by yourself and don't depend on somebody else encouraging you. Just encourage yourself in the Lord by thinking about how good God done been to you. I don't know about you, but I know he's been good to me. He's been better to me than I could have been to myself. Thank you, Lord. Don't know what you're going to do next, but thank you for conditioning me to accept your will. We need to trust in him. We need to lean not to our own understanding. We need to trust in him. Lord, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Lord God Almighty, the one that said, let there be, and he spoke it into existence. This God will provide just what you need, but you got to trust in him. You need to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. God places people in our lives to encourage us, but every now and then you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. And when you encourage yourself in the Lord, God will provide just what he needs. I don't know when David composed the 23rd Psalm. I don't know. But if he had not composed it before this happened to him, or if he had, he could remember where God had brought him from. See, at this time, if I'm not mistaken, David had already been anointed king of Israel, but had not taken the throne. Running from King Saul, sent there to play his harp to soothe the evil spirits that came on King Saul, and it worked. But yet he wanted to kill him. David had some things that had happened to him in his life when he had to encourage himself in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, and if that have not happened to you, I just got one thing to tell you. Keep on living. Keep on living, and you will need to encourage yourself in the Lord, because it will seem as if nobody else can help you through whatever you're in. Yes, I know what I said when I started. Oh, but let me tell you how I am now. If 10 is the highest, I'm on 20. Because I encourage myself in the Lord. Listen to me. And if you're thinking about going into the ministry, you need to hear this right here. Sometimes God will have to get you at a place where you forget about what you're doing for people. And he needs you to think about what you're doing for him. I didn't do this message for me. I did it for you. So you could see that God deals with people that's his. I'm his. I've surrendered. I tell everybody that want to listen to me, I'm God's. I belong to him. And sometimes I tell them that, and I don't tell them I am. I show them. I live it. Every day of my life, I'm doing the very best that I know how to live so God would be pleased with me. Because that old cliche statement we make, your life is the only Bible a lot of people will read. I see them reading me every day. I know a friend of mine, and he knows that I'm a pastor, and I think he's just waiting on me to say something to him about his foul language. Brother Earl, he remind me of me. And I ain't saying that braggadociously, y'all. I regret that. But I'm just telling the truth. And when he does that, he did it the other day, a couple of weeks ago sometime, and look right straight at me, and I just smile at him. Didn't let it change my expression or the way I feel about him or the way I treat him. But I said, I'm just waiting. God's going to fix it. I'm going to get my chance. I know God's going to give me the chance. You know why I know? Because I don't ask him. And he's going to do it. He's going to do it. I'm going to get my chance. And God's going to give me the chance. God's going to give it to me. And I'm going to tell him about this God that I serve and tell him about how God, what I've asked God is to take that language away from him because he's an excellent human being. That's the fault that he has. It's a fault, and he does it so much. To him, it's a sin because he loves to do it. He loves it, you know. But you need to encourage yourself in God, brothers and sisters. And the time that you think that you don't need it is when you really do. Sometimes you need to encourage yourself in God to come to church. Because now y'all just tell the truth. God knows your heart. There's some Sundays you wake up, you don't want to come here to see me or nobody else. Don't want to hear Sister Tony sing, the children sing, or nobody else. I just want to stay home. But you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. I'm looking at some of these young faces in here, and they look like they just want to smile and bust out all over. Because they here, and well, y'all, it happened to y'all too. I'm through. And I may tell y'all too much, but I just have to because that's just the way I am. I asked him for an illustration, and I didn't get one, so that's why y'all not getting one. And if he didn't give it to you, you don't need it anyway. Will you stand? And if you don't know God, if you don't know him as Lord and Savior, this is your time. And don't think that where you are now in your spiritual walk is where you're going to stay. You need to always be on the move with God and willing to go higher. Will you come to Christ and submit your life to Christ and allow him to save your soul? Will you come? Will you come? Will you come to Christ just as you are today and let him encourage you so you can encourage yourself in the Lord? Will you come? Will you come? Because of will you come? Mercy, God bless you.
Oh, mercy everlasting. With clean hands, bless your name. With
To the King.